cooperative pool to order. Are there any additions or reorders to the agenda?
No, sir.
Nope. We have one business item, which is the safe yield recalculation and reset. And I think you had a presentation, Peter?
Yes, some comments and a presentation. We plan to bring to the board of directors next week the presentation that was given to the pools last week. During the ag pool discussion last week, there was a question that was raised. Ken was, I think he was helping Jeff Vandenhuvel with his thoughts on the unexpected overdraft. And so the request was made, can we start quantifying that in some respects? And so we've added three slides to the presentation that was given last week, and we have those ready to show to you. Actually, Mark will be glad to run through the same presentation if you want it. The three new slides come at the end of it, and they're similar in pattern to what you've seen. They just cover a different period in time. We don't have, and we're not going to be offering to the pool or to the board next week an explanation on this unexpected overdraft. We're simply starting to describe it in some general terms. We believe that's, the board will eventually need to get there. We had a board member clearly ask for it, so we're going to slowly start making our way there without saying what caused it at this point in time. The causes are complex enough to where we don't think we're ready to describe it in full detail. We have that ready to go, and it shouldn't take too much of your time. The other thing the pool asked for was some help in understanding the consequences of Saruni being a number anywhere between 0 and 20,000. And so Danny has prepared some tables that she's prepared to walk you through those. And we have copies at the back table. When we get to that part of the discussion this morning, we can hand those out so you can follow through, and it'll help you understand the consequences of Saruni being 0 and 20. We intend for this to be a preliminary discussion. We understand this is something the pool's going to be working through in the sequence of future meetings beginning in August, but we thought we'd give you a preview just to get you stimulated in thinking about that. So with that, would you like to, do you want Mark to go through the same presentation slides as last week, if you have any specific questions, or do you want them to just simply jump to the end to the three new slides?
What's the pleasure of the pool? Is there a need to go back and revisit just focus on?
Okay.
New ones?
New ones?
Okay.
Okay. So, Anna, if you can please bring it up and just go to the last three slides at the
Maybe
end.
Slide 15. Thank you, Anna. Good morning. This is a slide that shows the time history of the cumulative change in storage from 1978 through 2010. So Water Master fiscal years 78 through 2010. You can see in the first few years, Water Master was doing some replenishment. And then subsequently, the storage changed each year in a negative way and ended up getting down around minus 560,000 acre-foot storage change. Excuse me. This is a distribution of that change in storage. The controlled overdraft portion of 165,000 acre-feet, that's the 5,000 acre-feet a year that's part of the appropriator's operating safe field. That goes out to 2017, but this is carrying it through fiscal 2010. The reoperation and other authorized CDA offsets, that's the water allocated under reoperation to the desalters, and Kaiser water, water from the overlying non-ag pool dedication, through 2010. And then there's the unexpected change. That's simple computation of taking the $560,000 and subtracting away the controlled overdraft and the reoperation and other authorized CDA offsets. And this map shows the change in water level between 1978 and 2010 across the basin. These little polygons you see in the middle represent the water service areas of the various appropriators, and some are overlying non-ag producers. So this is Pomona over here, Ontario, Upland, Cucamonga Valley, Fontana, Arupa, Chino, both sides here, and Chino Hills is mostly off this map, so they won't show up having a water level change. The areas that grade from yellow to green are areas where the water table has come up, and where it grades from yellow to brown, the water level has gone down. So in this particular, in this period of time, we've seen a water level change coming down from where San Sylvain is across Cucamonga, Ontario, West Fontana, and down into Harupa area. I think this water level change out here in the west is fairly recent in that time. As part of what we call the success of the OBMP and the initial portions of the MZ1 plan. I think that's it. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Mark? There were projected water level changes, I believe, in the modeling done in 2007-2009 regarding Peace 2 agreement and basin reoperation. How does this compare with those projected water level changes at that time?
We didn't really publish projections for this period in 07. This is 78 to 20.
Okay.
11. We didn't really publish water level changes in that period.
And maybe a general question, are these water level changes to be expected?
Well, again, those are the water levels that we get from actually matching, the model matching what happened in the basin.
That's what he's asking.
So we're going to the future simulation. Your question is, how does the 07-09 model compare to our newer projections?
Yes, and in general, the expected water level changes to what we're seeing either in terms of up to present as well as our current projections.
That's a great question, and I haven't analyzed that completely yet.
Any other questions for Mark?
Scenario 5A is the scenario that the appropriator pool asks us to run. It represents the expected or planned groundwater production by everyone from fiscal 2014 on. It has a historical production from 2011 through 2013. And it has the best estimate of the future desalter wells put in. In scenario 3A, which is it's sort of analog from our past work that you've seen. That was planning information from 2011 through 2012 through 2050. So it's a few years in the beginning. We've changed for 5A, and we didn't know exactly how the desalters were going to be, how they were going to build out their final wells. So we got better information, so we adjusted the desalter well field. Otherwise, it's the same as 3A. There are no new recharge improvements in there.
No new projects.
That's correct.
Mark, what does the zero represent? Is that a historical level? Is that a model number? Is that a period in time?
Could you switch the light back off, please? So you're referring to the zero change in water level?
Yes.
It's merely a singularity where that separates where water levels, from regions where water levels went up versus where water levels went down.
Okay.
So you would say at that particular line on the map that water levels in 2050 would appear to be identical to what they were in 2011. But it's just more of, I'd say in your case, it's most, in this case, it's mostly a boundary.
Okay.
Separating those zones.
Mark, expanding on what Robert just said, so the Recharge Master Plan projects that are slated, those are not included in these future model standards.
That's correct.
Mark, if someone wanted to put more water in there as for storage, which means to get credit, you know, later, how does that affect it, like, when there's already people there with storage and, you know, does it matter?
In reference to water levels?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you stored water, water levels will go up.
Right, but I'm also, you know, putting water in storage, meaning that I'm going to want to pump it later.
Let me help you.
Okay.
If you took this scenario, and somewhere in the scenario you stored water.
Right.
And you took it back out.
Right.
Would this look different?
Right.
Okay. Good question. It would depend on the symmetry of where you put it in and where you took it out. If you put it in where you took it out, you took it out where you put it in.
Okay.
It'd probably look like that.
All right. Thanks.
Does this scenario take into account the mandate of conservation or reduction in production over by the 2020 plan or any kind of drought fighting reductions?
That is a really great question, and thanks for asking it. This represents what you said you would do to comply with that.
So we didn't want to show those three slides to the board next week without the pool having a chance to see them in advance. And that was the whole point of having Mark present those. Also, on the subject of the Santa Ana River underflow new yield, what Danny has prepared is that table. Anna, if you don't mind, turn the lights on for a moment. And you'll notice in the table there's a column that you haven't seen in the past. And the idea is to try to help the parties understand that in addition to the production right that you get and how Saruni operates on that, that there's also an obligation for CDA replenishment. And so you'll see in this table both of those shown and actually added up so that you can see the net effect on – the net effect is actually zero because Saruni is part of the overall yield. But – how it breaks down with individual parties, it does make a difference. And so Danny will go through that. And let's see, should we hand out the table so people have the...
Before you do, I have a question. Could you go back to the chart that has the change in storage?
Just chart here?
Yes. Oh, okay, never mind. This is different chart than the one I was thinking it was. This is... historical change in storage.
You want to see the
perspective? Did the other presentation include the other chart? The one that shows the projected change in storage?
That one.
That one. Okay. So if you would just kind of, you know, humor me here, but explain for me what, so we see this shows through 2010, basically it would match whatever was on the previous chart that we saw, right? The change in storage through 2010. So this is projected based on production numbers out into the future. So there's a pretty distinctive flattening out of this chart in 2044 and into the future. And it looks like it's even kind of inching, starts to inch up through 2050. Why is that? Can you explain why that occurs?
Yes. In the future simulation, we're using something called the efficient market assumption. basically assume that underproducers sell to overproducers. And then when that's not available, water comes out of storage accounts. And then when the storage accounts, all the water in storage is depleted, you buy replenishment water. This is something we've talked about for all these future simulations. We talked about this during actually the Recharge Master Plan. That's what we, that's where this concept became more firm. Out in these years, you have to buy replenishment water. And every year prior to that, you're not buying replenishment water from wet water, excuse me. This is wet water recharge. Everything we've done here is pursuant, you know, the efficient market assumption is pursuant to the judgment in the contracts that we're making sure that there's no unexpected change in storage. So when there's overproduction, we're replenishing either from storage accounts, underproduced water, and when we run out of that, it's wet water. And right here, it's wet water. So that's why it flattens out.
And that's based on what's the safe yield that projection is based on?
It's varying over this period. What we did was take 2011 to 2020, use that 10-year average for the period 2011 through 2020. For 2021 through 2030, we use the average developed yield from the model for that, and so on, for each 10-year period. So out in here, the developed yield is around 140,000.
Thank you.
Mark, how much do the levels project to drop overall? Like, what's the range?
Anna, could you help me with this? Thank you. Again, areas that are at grade from yellow to green are areas where the water levels come up. So it's come up here. It looks like it's coming up in here. And I'll add that it's coming up in here mostly in the latter years because we're putting 32,000 acre feet of water in the ground every year. Where it grades from yellow to brown, water levels are going down. So you have this pronounced trough starting in the Pomona area, going through central Pomona or Ontario, and dropping into, say, where the Harupa CSD produces. A little bit drop out here. And it grades, you can see it grades from this trough to from 50, 60 feet to close to zero here. So that's how I would characterize it.
Up to 60 feet?
Yes.
Thank you.
From 2011 forward.
Mark, if you take that from 78 to 2050, and put the numbers together, what does it tell us? Did you do that?
It's there.
You've got some areas that are going up and then going to go down. Yep. So relative to the start of the judgment to now, let's do it. Or to 2050.
Do you have that graphic?
It might be here. So this is 78 to 2011, and this is 78 to 2050.
That's without any further recharge.
That's correct.
To help you prioritize. And you mentioned using all the water in storage as an efficient market. And how much is that today?
It's around 400,000.
Okay, so if you go to the 78 to 11 changes in storage, in that pie chart you have, where do we find that?
Haven't analyzed that.
You don't.
That. So we're showing it as a takeout, but not a put-in. Wouldn't that skew the chart maybe the negative?
Could you humor me and start that question over again?
Well, you're showing it as a takeout under the efficient weapon scenario, which is the chart that Marty was just reviewing, if you like, right now. But we're not showing that water going in as people are putting water into the storage.
It's not all wet water storage. Some of it's excess carryover, things like that.
Where do we see that going in?
So.
Is that all accounted for?
So if we looked at this pie chart here, we're showing 215,000 acre feet of unexpected at the end of 2010. Are you suggesting there should be something here that shows?
Well, I don't know if that some of that water is going in, some of it's not being pumped and stored from year to year. It is a change in storage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to understand where that 400 whatever thousand acre feet you just said parties had in storage, where that came from and how it's accounted for on the input side, because you're accounting for it on the output side.
Right. Well, let me clear up something. About 400,000 now. At the beginning of the prospective simulation, it was in the 300, so it's a smaller number. And I have not attempted to reconcile, unexpected decline in storage with water and storage accounts. That's not been done.
In other words, Ken, in addition to the 560,000 acre feet change in storage, portions of which are the 200,000 up to that date, the 400,000 up to that date, there is additional change in storage, wet water, and there's an accumulation of stored water in stored water accounts. That accumulation in stored water accounts is what's being depleted out into the future. Perhaps what this pie chart ought to be complemented with is something that shows the increase in stored water account balances over time, and that would help complete the picture. I think that's what I'm hearing in your question.
Well, because of the board meeting, the one chart that drew the most attention was the one right before this one, for the future years, the one. The bar graph, it was the projected one.
Right.
If that doesn't count for all this water that's been put into storage, it would tend to make the scenario worse.
There's a difference between water being put into storage accounts, which may not be wet water recharge. It may be excess carryover, just simply unpumped water. And then there's a difference between water going into storage accounts and water that goes into that affects the basin storage, kind of the global storage.
So that's why I was asking, did we take a look at that, and how do we account for the wet water put into storage?
I think that other than the 650 or 6,500 in MZ1, that the scenario assumes there isn't wet water.
And change of storage would include unpumped water. That's not stored water.
Ken, in the processing of this future simulation, we have everybody's projected production through 2050. It's really through 2030 or something, and then we call it a constant after that. And then we look at production rights. Production rights are safe yield, recycle water recharge that's going in, the 6,500 acre foot obligation through 2030, all that's built into that. So any wet water that's programmed to go in, exclusive of wet water replenishment, is built into this analysis. And then we track, if this is the case that those production rights exceed the projected pumping, then water's going into storage at whatever safe yield we put in there. And that is the case. In this scenario, storage accounts build from 2011 through, I'm going to say, mid-2020s, and then they start going down to do for replenishment. Now, you can actually see it in that plot. When that curve, you see how it gets kind of steep, kind of flat, it steepens? That's when the storage accounts are getting hit. They begin to be depleted for the...
I understand. My comment probably is more the new chart that you showed us today, which goes back to the 70s.
Okay.
Where and how. Because what folks are going to have a tendency to do is add the 2050 number there to the 2011 number there, come up with this total depletion of storage. And I want to make sure we're accounting for the increase in storage during that time period. So we're just not making the situation look more dire than it is.
Well, again, this is physical water accounting in the groundwater system.
And if you're confident of that, then
yeah,
that's the only reason why I asked the question, to make sure we're confident that we're not overstating the change in storage.
I am confident we're not overstating the change in storage.
And then, Mark, what happens, like, if someone transfers their rights to a different party in the basin and they're now pumping more? I mean, that graph could look worse in that area because you're not replenishing it, correct?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
I think the answer, Terry, is that this is developed based on what the appropriators said they were going to produce.
Okay.
If an appropriator produces a different pattern, you're correct, the results on the basin would be different, and the model would pick that up.
Right. So, in other words, if people have storage accounts right now and they transfer those rights to, say, Fontana or Harupa or somebody who needs them, and they start to pump the basin more and we're not giving replenished water, it's going to look worse.
Let's just say it was you on the west to someone on the east.
Right.
Probably the 2050 map would look a little different, but the storage change would be the same.
Okay.
Just because of the local pumping change, instead of pumping in the west, you're pumping in the east.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, budget would be probably almost identical.
It's just something to be aware of, especially the people who are going to have issues.
Can I follow up on that question just kind of simplistically? Is you're saying if we decided, I mean, you know, we have new state regulations, maybe it's new restrictions on import. If we just all decided we're going to pump our full rights and our own full rights, not taking into account transfers that could take place that would change how the basin looks and level changes, roughly it would be similar because eventually we're going to be, if we're not pumping those rights, we're going to be eventually taken out of storage accounts for other benefits. So more or less, this is going to be roughly the same as far as impact hydrologically.
I think so.
Okay. Yes. And then the second question is, we asked you to project out to 2050. I can't remember if our request was, had anything to do with, you know, what happens if the peace agreements end at 2030. Would there be a change from the 2030-2050 projections if the peace agreements are not re-upped and we return to straight-up judgment requirements?
I think the projection was based on the assumption that the peace agreement would be renewed. If the peace agreement weren't renewed, it's safe to assume things would be different, but I don't know that we can tell you right now how they would be different unless we knew how.
Well, I guess my question would be, since the current agreements are to end in 2030, shouldn't we project in what would happen if those agreements actually do end as they are?
What would happen to desalters?
Exactly.
Well, if you give us a scenario of what would happen to desalters, we can entertain that. But I think for a reasonable working assumption for, you know, the process to move forward, we assume that the peace agreement gets renewed.
Well, they would become unreplenished production that would need to be replenished, and probably come out of storage accounts. So it would be quite similar then, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'd have to think about it.
One comment would be that, you know, I just having been around Watermaster for a number of years, things from time to time can be taken out of context with each other. Someone might look at this chart and say, oh my God, you know, that's a bad thing. But taken in context with all of the other things that are happening through these years, it's in some ways it's sort of by design. And I think that, you know, my concern as an appropriator is that as this presentation is presented at different levels based on things that we've heard, and concerns that we've heard expressed by, board members, that context is really important. And Watermaster Watermaster's engineer making sure that that is properly conveyed to all parties concerned, I think, is extremely important.
I agree. I agree, Marty. We'll do our best to describe it. Again, this projection into the future is saying that this is what will happen if there is if production is and water and stored water accounts are done according to the rules of the road. This is what we expect will happen. And the key takeaway for me, if I were an appropriator, would be to look at that kink and realize at that point in time there's no stored water left to use. At that point, it's all wet water replenishment. And that's the major takeaway from this graph. It's not to say anything other than this is what, from where we stand today moving forward, this is what will happen in the basin. And there's a point where wet water replenishment obligation begins, and there's an associated decline in water levels as shown in the next slide.
Right. So what you said, though, clearly describes what it, you know, what this represents. But when, you know, the title of the slide is just projected change in storage, you know, it can be perceived to mean different things. And unless you have the context as to what this represents, I'll just stop there. That's.
I agree with Marty on this. You can almost do it with a sentence that tells you when you run out of stored water into the efficient market account, and you have to do these three questions. One of the comments I made at the last meeting, and that assumes everybody uses every drop of stored water, that flattening the can. Probably would come a little earlier. Water managers probably will leave some water in the ground. The total change in storage will probably be less. I think those are all very strong likelihoods. Just because people will hedge against things that can happen in the future beyond 2050 or whatever year they decide to deplete some of their storage. So I think it's very important to have some explanation and context. But to me, really, the more important one is when you look at the graph of water levels.
You know, it's almost like you could, you know, it is truly cumulative change in storage, but really what it is a combination of, you know, replenishment being met from water in storage, authorized overdraft associated with desalter production, and all those different things are what's there, and that's actually sort of a, in, if you think about it in terms of negatives or positives, it's really a positive account. It's an account that we've established, that has been established, that we're drawing from to meet replenishment until 2045, where we have to use wet water replenishment, right? So it's just a different way of presenting the results.
So this was a stacked bar chart that said, this is storage account water, this is authorized changes in storage, you know, controlled overdraft, blah, blah, blah. That might make it clear, maybe with some annotations that point at, arrows that point at things to give it.
Well, and keep in mind, we're looking at this another 10 years, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, it, you know, in 10 years, the assumptions might be different. So, it's, you know, it's not a done deal until 2050.
Any other questions for Mark or Peter? Rosemary?
Based upon the analysis that you did, it's kind of almost the worst case scenario, because we do have some projects that are in development phase right now that's going to allow for capture of additional water or replenishment of wet water. So there's really, you know, again, probably a different.
That is correct. Different future assumptions will affect the future projection. And that's true for production as well as replenishment.
All right. Well, hearing nothing else, then thank you very much.
So let me, if I may, let me invite Danny to give you a presentation on that table. And again, you'll have an opportunity to see this again in the future, but we did want you to start thinking about it. Let's see, where are the handouts at this point? Are they in the back table? Okay. Can everybody read that?
Peter, can I just ask a quick question? Are you going to explain where the 20,000 comes from, the Serenity 20,000?
Yeah. Well, so the...
How would your behavior change if you had that water?
The idea is, again, to help the pool understand the ramifications of...
They're coming the other way.
The idea is to help the pool understand the ramifications of changing the existing agreements to allow for a Santa Ana River underflow new yield to be a different number. The Santa Ana River underflow new yield we project will be approximately half of the CDA production. So approximately a high end for that number could be as high as 20,000 acre feet. The question we were asked is, what would happen if that were zero? And please help us understand, what does that mean to individual appropriators if it's 20 versus zero? So we can sort of guide our discussions and get to a desirable result. So we bracketed it, I should say, not we, Danny bracketed it between a 20 and a zero, and she's going to walk you through the spreadsheet and tell you how she gets at a number at the end, and then how each, when the scenarios are compared, how to read that.
Okay. Hopefully this works for everybody with sort of half the lights on. I know if it's too dark in here, you won't be able to see the paper copy in front of you, and I don't expect you to actually be able to read the one that's being projected. So as Peter said, I ran it two different ways with the 0 acre foot Serenity and with the 20,000, just to kind of give the range. There's two large tables on the paper in front of you. They both assume a 6,000 acre foot stormwater new yield, CBFIP stormwater new yield. I don't know that that's set in stone, but for purposes of these tables, that's what's in there. You'll see the top table has 20,000 acre feet of Serenity and the bottom one, 0 acre feet. And both of them are assuming a developed yield of 135,000. And they're both based on the most recent full production year that we have, which is 2012-13. That's the last assessment package. We're still wrapping up the production from this year. So if you look at that sort of small inset table on the top left there, and I should say some of this table you've seen before when we had that first workshop approximately a year ago, some of this was on there. So it's going to look a little familiar, but I've added a little bit since then. So looking at that top left inset table, the assumptions, like I said, going into this, into these calculations, the change in the yield is 5,000 acre feet. So that's 140,000 minus 135, assuming a developed yield of 135,000. There's a 5,000 delta there. And then this top table assumes a Serenity of 20,000 and then a stormwater new yield of 6,000. If you recall, those have to be taken out, and then, you know, that's the backfill. So you add those up, and that creates what we call the backfill of 31,000. If you recall, like the stormwater new yield, you have to take it out there so you can give it back a different way. And I'll get into that in the bigger table. And then so when we come up on the upper right over there, we look at this is kind of something you're used to seeing in the assessment package. So ag pool safe yield, we all know, is 82.8. And then for this particular year, their production was around 34,000 acre feet. And then that backfill number that I just mentioned, that 31,000. So when we look at all three, when we take the ag pool production and the backfill out of the ag pool safe yield, what we see is the amount that's available for reallocation is about 17,000 acre feet. But then looking down below, when we when we get into the details on the bigger table, we would see that the land use conversion for the year is about 23,000, and the early transfers for the year is about 32,000. So potentially what we, you know, available for ag pool reallocation is 56,000, but we know that there's only 17,000 available. So there's an adjustment required, a required reallocation adjustment of 39,231. So now we'll walk through.
Danny, let me stop you right there. And let me give the parties a chance to catch up with where you are. So Danny walked you through the left side of the table there that shows the assumptions, the 135,000 acre foot yield, the Saruni of 20,000, and the 6,000 acre feet of stormwater new yield. That number, the sum of those numbers, is translated into the calculation of what's available from the ag pool for reallocation. What's available for ag pool reallocation is actually less than what's claimed for in the form of land use conversions and early transfer. And that number there, that 39,231, is the difference that needs to be reallocated. Is everybody with us so far? That's a yes. Okay.
Yes. All right. So getting into the larger table then. First column there, party name. Second column, share of operating safe field, just as you see in the assessment package every year. And then the percent share of that. Again, those are fixed numbers. The next column there is 2012-13 production. As I said, that's the most complete year that we have available to work with. And then the next column you see there, the numbers are repeated again. Depending on the year, they might vary. That's called production and exchanges. And if you're familiar with the assessment package, what that one is if it's what we call the assessable production, and it includes the drier yield puts and takes. So in a year where there's drier yield activity, that number would change. And the reason why that number is displayed here is because that plays into the, when we get into the desalter replenishment calculation, that's based on the 50-50 formula, the 50% operating safe yield, 50% production. But it's not a straightforward production. It's a blend of the actual production and the production and exchanges number. So like I said, this year, this particular year we're looking at, those two production columns are the same. In a drier yield number, in a drier yield year with activity year, that column would be different. Then the next set of columns that you see, the sort of middle section there, ag pool is the ag pool reallocation, all the calculations that go into that. So the first one is land use conversions. So for those parties that have land use conversions, that's the amount, the total amount that they're eligible for before it's adjusted. And then the next column is the 32,800 acre feet of early transfer. That's just based on percent of operating safe yield. So 32,800 times the party's percent of percent share of safe yield. So then you add those two columns up together, the land use conversions and the early transfer. And that is the potential for ag pool reallocation. That potential is 56,000. And we already discussed that number up in this little table up here. So the potential is 56,000, but then we already know that the only amount available is 17,000. So as we discussed, that leaves a required adjustment of 39,000. So the next column that you see there is called required reallocation adjustment. And that's basically dialing everybody down to make them fit within the amount available, the 17,000. And so that adjustment is based on the pro rata of land use conversions and early transfers combined. So then the next column, net ag pool reallocation, is just math of the potential and the required reallocation. So it's taking the potential of 56,000 and then the adjustment of 39,000, taking the 39,000 away from the 56 to get to squeeze everybody basically into the 17,000. Then the next column you see there, now we're done with ag pool reallocation. And that, as I said, stormwater new yield. We had to take it away above because it gets allocated in a different way. So here it is shown, and it's allocated based on percent of operating safe yield. So that's just 6,000 times a party's percent share of operating safe yield. The following column right here, that's labeled, it says it equals operating safe yield plus ag pool reallocation plus stormwater new yield. So that's just a summation of the rights to that point discussed on the table. Okay, now this part right here, these next two columns, this is something that you haven't really seen yet and may or may not thought about it this way yet. It says the party portion of avoided desalter replenishment. So this one is if Saruni is equal to 20,000. The table below, that's what says if Saruni is equal to zero. So the desalter replenishment, if you'll recall, is based on the 50-50 formula, 50% operating, say, you know, percent of operating safe yield and 50% production. And as I said, it's not simple production. It's a blend of the actual production and the production and exchanges number. So when you apply that formula, if there is a Saruni of 20,000, and it's offsetting the desalter replenishment that's required, that would, you know, that's required for any particular year, it's not showing up in your production rights, but it's avoided desalter replenishment. There is still a benefit to your party, and that column shows what that benefit would be. So then the final column on there is just adding the two previous columns, taking the rights to that point. That was OSY plus ag pool reallocation plus stormwater and yield, and then adding in that avoided desalter replenishment. So that's, you know, assuming a 20,000 acre foot Saruni. So when you go into the next big column below, Anna, if you want to scroll down a little bit for me, please. It's the whole same process repeated, but now assuming 0 acre foot of Saruni. Stormwater still 6,000. Developed yield is still 135,000. Production numbers are the same. I can walk through all of that again if you all want to hear it again or not, depending on your preference. But the final answer in the end is that you know, you'll see the last two columns, and so it says party portion of avoided desalter replenishment if Saruni equals zero. Well, if there's no Saruni, there's nothing going to offset the desalters, so everybody's zeros there. And then when you add everything up, you'll see that in the final column. So note that the final column on the very top of the page and the final column in the, you know, middle part of the page, they equal the same. It's 98,175 for the total, but each party is different. Does anybody want me to walk through that whole second section again? Or are we okay? We're okay? So it's just summarized quickly down in the very bottom for each party. So if Saruni is 20,000, there's what you get, essentially, you know, including the avoided desalter replenishment. Or if Saruni is zero, that's what you get. So some parties, you know, benefit one way and some parties benefit the other. And this is just a kind of quick way for you to look at it based on a set of assumptions that we're using at this point. Yes?
Danny, what are the assumptions regarding the desalter production currently? Like, what is the maximum desalter replenishment obligation projected to be?
Projected to be? It's supposed to go up to 40,000 once the Western, the expansion comes online.
But your table is built on the current production of 28,000, right?
Yeah. And I'm not even sure that really...
It's really just... This is neutral on this.
Yeah, I don't... Just about... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But is there an impact on the different Sarunis associated with the total desalter replenishment obligation for the parties?
Total... What do you,
well, we're going to. There's going to be a total desalter replenishment obligation. It does impact when Saruni is assessed in the schedule of desalter replenishment.
But everybody's assessed the same, no matter what it is. It's all 50-50.
When it comes into being, as Saruni is here, Saruni is happening from this year forward.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, that's going to impact the total desalter replenishment obligation for parties. And then there's a question of how that desalter replenishment obligation is going to be meted out in order for us to reach that 400,000 acre foot threshold for that portion of the replenishment of the desalters.
So Rooney only covers portion of it.
Right.
So then there's a remaining balance that it will
right.
have to be.
Right, and then that remaining, yeah. And that's on the 50-50 formula.
How many years it is being...
Yeah, I guess that remaining balance is outside of this sheet. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any further questions?
So the idea is, as the pool deliberates, if you look on the bottom table, you can understand how your individual party is affected in the range of 0 to 20, and you can discuss and decide.
I also asked on the 20,000, is the 20,000 Water Master's understanding of what the contracts say Serenity would be, as opposed to zero, which means the result of a renegotiation. What is the 20,000? What is the source of that? We'd heard 17,000 before.
Right. 17,000 was the model developed number when we were looking at the base period of 2001 through 2010. The 20,000 is an approximation looking forward, with the assumption that Saruni will be approximately 50% of CDA production. And so if CDA production is going to get to be as high as 40,000 acre feet a year, Saruni could get to be as high as 20,000. We're not putting out that number at this point. We're not saying it's 20,000. What this is saying is if Saruni were as high as 20, this is the distribution among the parties. If it were as low as zero, this is the distribution among the parties. We haven't, the appropriative pool letter asked for a different scenario for a Saruni calculation, which we believe is not consistent with the management agreements. And if we were to use that, then Saruni would have been zero. We haven't come out and said, looking forward, here's a precise number for Saruni.
Under the current terms of the contract.
Right.
So if I wanted to try and approximate what my agency's desalter replenishment obligation would be, because I've seen spreadsheets where it's zero and then where the obligation was projected to be zero and projected to be all different kinds of numbers, but now based on either whether there's 20,000 of Saruni or zero of Saruni, and there's the 40,000 acre foot desalter production, so we could just use this pro rata percentage of the party portion of avoided desalter replenishment to figure out what your share of desalter replenishment would be?
Well, first of all, it varies from year to year depending on production, right? So your pro rata percentage is going to vary year to year. Yeah, it's all based on the 50-50 formula. So, I mean, you could use that as a best case, I guess, assumption at this point, but it will vary from year to year.
Okay,
and it's 30,000 right now, or just under 30,000. It's like 28,000, 29,000, but it will in the next few years ramp up to 40.
Okay, so when we say that it's going to ramp up to 40, we still have a set aside of 10,000 acre feet to offset the western portion.
Yeah.
So it'll still
right. So that bucket is still there. Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
175,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't really read the spreadsheet, so I don't want to get into the numbers, but you know, over the years the ag pool reallocation adjustment has been around 4 to 10%, which is understandable out of the paper document. But I think what your spreadsheet shows there, something is inherently concerning. Your eligibility versus your allocation is more than 60 to 70% reduced. So I think we really have to look at that program. There have been a lot of other programs added. But some of the key tenants on land use conversion factors and so forth are at the point that they're not even half of what they should be. And then that includes different programs that have started since Piece 1. But that's really concerning in the sense of, is the water going? You have adjustment factors in those columns. proceeds are eligible, but because of the different programs, about a third of their eligibility, that's we're way off. And statistically, we can talk about that offline, but for a group that there's probably time we relook at some of these programs and overlay, because it is a matter of equity.
Well, thank you, Danny. We hope you'll find this helpful, and again, we can shape or reshape this in any other way that the pool wants to look at it to help understand the implications of the magnitude of Cerruni.
I have one more question, Peter. Under what scenario would Cerruni be zero?
So the existing agreements, meaning peace agreement and peace two and the judgment and everything else, give you a certain interpretation, which we believe leads to an interpretation of a higher Cerruni number. Without saying it's 20, it would be something in that order of magnitude.
Pretty interesting.
The question came up at the pool by some parties who are interested in possibly changing that. And so we don't think you can go higher than about 20. So the question is, what's the range? Well, you could go from 20 to where the pool could perhaps decide amongst itself that they would want to just arbitrarily zero that out. So you have the range of 0 to 20. It's for you to come up with some kind of a suggested approach that would lead to a number that's lower than 20, and this is intended to help you get to a number that works for you.
I don't understand what's arbitrary, and then where would that water go?
The zero number is consistent with the analysis that the appropriative pool asked to be run in its April letter.
And where it goes is it goes into a higher safe yield number. Cerruni reduces developed yield to give a safe yield number. So if Cerruni is zero, then the safe yield is set to be the same as the developed yield.
Right. So I would have looked at the second set and thought that 20,000 would have been added into the safe yield then. But I guess we just do that math ourselves.
No, it's in there.
If you look at the top little left mini table within each one and the assumptions, see how when Cerruni is 20,000, see how the required reduction is 31,000. Mm-hmm. And then you jump to the section below, see how the required reduction is 11,000. That's because we can have to take the 20,000 as soon as we have it there. So it leads to a higher annual production, right? Correct.
Okay.
We don't have to dial down the actual allocation.
Oh, okay.
So the pool is going into closed session then? Is that okay?
Yeah, it'll take a couple minutes.
Okay.
It's about 12:20. There's no reportable action. Agenda, you see future meetings at Watermaster, and then with that, we're adjourned.